we welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister, and we're pleased to have you on this special weekend. All of us are mindful that this is Memorial Weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and I personally think that it is very wise and very good for us to consider what Memorial Day really represents. So this morning I'm going to be talking about the importance of remembering at this time of the year. I'm going to be reading, first of all, from the book of Exodus, and these are words probably you've heard many a time, but I'm going to be reading verses 12 through 14 in the book of Exodus, and if you will, follow along in the reading. On that same night I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. And then we move over to the great book of Joshua, and in the fourth chapter in verses 4 through 7, and let's listen to these words. So Joshua called the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut out before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel." And then turning over to the teachings in the Corinthian letter, Paul and his writings to the church at Corinth. And in the 11th chapter, and we will start reading with verse 24 and read through verse 27. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" To me, it is very apparent that Christ and all of his teachings, starting back in the Old Testament, reading all the way through, that there is a grave need for us to keep before us the many things that we need to remember. And we know today that many churches ignore Memorial Day because it is not one of the holy days on the church calendar. But as I said a moment ago, I believe it is good for us to consider what Memorial Day really represents. And so, for its very name calls us to remember. I'm sure most of you recognize the bugle call being played while we have attended, many of you, and maybe some of you who are listening have attended a committal service of someone who has served in the military, and that particular bugle has been used, and it was taps. And if you have had the TV news on for any length of time, I'm sure that sometime or another they have shown where someone who has passed away, they served our country, and taps were played at that committal site. You might wonder, what is the origin of taps? Well, it dates back to the Civil War. In 1862, Union Army General Daniel Butterfield and his brigade were encamped at Harrison's Landing in Virginia following the 7 days battle near Richmond. And at that time, the standard method of signaling lights out to encamp troops at the end of the day was by a bugle call followed by three loud taps on a drum. General Butterfield was dissatisfied with that, and thinking that the last sound the men heard at night should be more soothing and melodious. And he wrote the bugle call and eliminated the sound of the drum. And after he had his brigade bugler play it for the men, the buglers from other units became interested, and it spread quickly throughout the Union Army, and it even caught on with the Confederates. And then in July, while they were still camped at Harrison's Landing, a corporal in Captain John Tidball's Battery A 2nd Artillery died of his wounds. And Captain Tidball wanted to bury him with full military honors, including their traditional firing of three rifle volleys over the gravesite. But he was refused permission because it was feared that the Confederates might mistake the rival volleys as the beginning of an attack by the Union Army. And then Tidball later wrote, "So the thought suggested itself to me sounds like taps instead, which we did. And the idea was taken up by others until in a short time it was adopted by the entire army. And the taps is now looked upon as the most appropriate and touching part of a funeral service." So, like I said just a moment ago, in many churches, sometimes maybe they don't talk a whole lot about memorial service. But this special day started near the end of the Civil War. And within a few years, the practice of placing flowers on military graves had spread throughout both the North and South and was being called by almost everyone Decoration Day. Then after World War I, it became a national holiday dedicated to remembering those who made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy. And it has also became a day to remember loved ones who have gone on before. And as we come to Memorial Day 2023, needless to say, I feel confident there will be many and many and maybe more than usual who will not only visit the graves and the sites of the men and women who so valiantly have served our country, but also it will be a time when people will be remembering many, many loved ones, because I'm sure that I'm safe in saying that it's probably close to 180 or more now, the number of mass shootings since the beginning of 2023. But friends, I think we need to see that in reading God's Word, and when I read a while ago from the book of Exodus, that we're going back to the Old Testament, to the very beginning, and being pointed out as was in the book of Exodus, in the book of Joshua, the word remember and having a memorial. But people are forgetful, and we often need help to jog their memories. And in the Bible, we find that God has given us some reminders too. For instance, and we look in Genesis 9:11, after God destroyed the earth in the flood, he told Noah, "I will establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And then in verse 13, God said, "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." So every time we see a rainbow, it serves as a reminder of God's promise. Another memorial was erected when Joshua led the people of Israel across the Jordan River into the Promised Land. The Jordan River stopped flowing just as the priest, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, stepped off the riverbank into the water. Then the priest stood in the middle of the riverbed until everyone had crossed safely. But while they were crossing, Joshua told 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes, to go into the riverbed and to select 12 large stones. And they brought those stones up onto the riverbank and made a monument unto them, out of them. And then Joshua said in Joshua 4, 6, and 7, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And so this morning, I want to make a proposal to you that there are three special days and times in the Bible specifically designed to help us to remember. And you know, I will venture to say that if I could get inside of homes or sit down and talk with people on a one-to-one basis, I probably would find many of them reminiscing, thinking and seeking to remember the things that have taken place over the years. And so, first of all, I want to talk about the festival of Passover. Moses did what God commanded, but Pharaoh refused to listen. So to reinforce his demand, God sent plague after plague, as we know, upon Egypt. And every time when the plague was at its worst, Pharaoh would say, stop the plague and I'll let the people go. But after every plague, Pharaoh would renege on his promise and continue the slavery of the people. And finally, Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt, and every firstborn son in Egypt will die. There will be a loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than ever has ever been or ever will be again. And so God instructed the Israelites, each family, you are to choose a year-old lamb, one without spot or blemish, the best in the flock. And you know, that's a beautiful statement right there, because one thing many people have forgotten is that we're supposed to offer our best to God. But sadly, we tend to keep the best for ourselves and seemingly give God the leftovers. Yet the biblical principle, and listen, friends, to this, has always been that God deserves our best. And if we love Him, listen to me, if we love Him, then we will give Him our best. I love that beautiful hymn that says, give of the best of your master to the master. Give of the strength of your youth, clad in glad armor, full armor in the battle for truth. Give of the best to your master. Friends, let's ask ourselves this weekend when we're being challenged, hopefully from God's word, to remember things that are very, very important. To ask ourselves, as we're living our lives and the days are just flying by, this is hard for me to believe that this is the last Lord's Day in May, 5 months of 2023, or just about over. Time is flying, and we need to seek to understand that it behooves us, because of God's grace, because of God's mercy, because of God's goodness, because of God's watch care, because of the forgiveness of our sins, and on I could go, that we should give the best of our master. And so God told them, kill that lamb and drain its blood into a basin, then roast the lamb. But before you eat, take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the door on both sides of the door frame. For on that night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for us on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So someone in every Jewish home took hyssop, dipped it in the blood, put it on the door frame, and that night, just as God said, he brought judgment upon Egypt, and there was weeping and wailing throughout the land. But wherever God saw the blood of the Lamb, those homes were spared. And in Exodus 12:33, it tells us that the next morning, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and to leave the country, for otherwise, they said, we will die. After 400 years, they were free. God said, this is a day that you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. And here we have passed all these 3,500 years have gone by, and every faithful Jew still, listen to me, still celebrate, still remember the Passover, as it's important that we don't forget, and it's important that we do not forget either. Also, there's another day that's very important for Christians and for all people, and that is called the Day of Worship. A second memorial that I want to mention is our Day of Worship. It all started when God created the heavens and the earth. We know the Bible says that God worked 6 days in creation, and on the seventh he rested. Then God blessed the Sabbath and called it holy. Now we know that under God's Jewish covenant, the seventh day of the week was to be kept holy. And why do Christians living under the new covenant worship on the first day of the week? We know that the word Sabbath means seventh, and of course we do not call the Lord's Day Sabbath. We call it the Lord's Day. And so let me mention a few things that make the first day of the week very special for Christians. First of all, Sunday, the first day, is a special day to Christians because when Jesus arose from the dead, his resurrection and his first 6 resurrection appearances were all on the first day of the week. And then also 50 days later, after Jesus ascended back into the heaven, on the day of Pentecost, which means 50th, and that means on the first day of the week, the Holy Spirit, as we know, reading in Acts 1 and Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles, just as Jesus had promised. And Peter preached the first gospel sermon. And you've read the words, hopefully, many and many a time, where that 3,000 people responded and were baptized, and the church was begun. Soon the early Christians were meeting regularly upon the first day of the week to worship God and encourage one another. And in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John spoke of this day as the Lord's Day, and so it is to those who gather to worship him. Friends, I believe with all my heart that we can walk our way across this nation, and we can find Bible preaching, true Bible preaching, that we can find ministers who are totally dedicated to the work of the kingdom because they believe in the message of Jesus Christ, that he is our hope, that he is the one who gives us strength. He is the one who helps us like no other. He is a friend greater than any friend we will ever know. And I firmly believe that if a body of believers are seeking to do what they ought to do, then any person who comes to worship the Lord, they will receive a blessing. Someone have said through the years, well, I can just go out on the hillside and I can worship. And I don't question that. But are you sharing in that worship experience what the Lord wants us to do when we gather as a body of believers? The Bible teaches us that we come together and we sing praises unto our wonderful Lord. We sing with every ounce of energy that we have. And we pray and thank God for Christ, for his countless blessings. And we remember, and hopefully on this weekend, We will especially remember the families who remain, who have lost a loved one or loved ones in serving this great country. And also, we will remember loved ones who have passed and gone on into heaven. I remember growing up that when we would come to this time of the year in the month of May, and I remember my dad singing, and I just so appreciate this particular memory. I so appreciate being able to remember this, that he would say, now today, we've got to go and decorate the graves. We have got to show respect to those who have served our country, and we have got to show respect to our loved ones. And that was a very meaningful thing to me as a young man to share in that particular way. And friends, we know that the Christians, like I said, they met regularly, and also that here's one reason why we need to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day, doing what the Lord would have us to do, and that we have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper. And friends, I cannot imagine worshiping and not having the Lord's Supper. And I'm saying that respectfully, because I know that many, many, many congregations do not have the weekly observance of the Lord's Supper. And that is a central part of the worship experience. Everything, listen to me, hinges on the fact that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And we need to be reminded continually about the blood he shed, his body broken and torn, and how important that is. And then the third thing that we need to remember is a meal of remembrance. There is the meal of remembrance. It was the night before his crucifixion that Jesus met with his disciples in the upper room to celebrate the Passover together. It was to be an evening of remembering, as God had long ago commanded. But as they ate, Jesus gave them something new, something greater to remember. For Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know why Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood"? It was because Jesus was the fulfillment of a prophecy that God had given centuries before, even through the prophet Jeremiah. For instance, in Jeremiah 31, 33, 34, we read these words. Jeremiah said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. I will put my law in their hearts, in their minds, and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." No longer was some ingredients of the Passover meal simply to be a reminder of their relief from Egyptian slavery. Now the bread and the cup were to be the eternal reminders of Jesus, of his sacrifice and his love. And that's why Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And maybe people ask, why do we partake of the Lord's Supper every Lord's Day? And again, I say this respect, that different congregations have creeds, and in their creeds, it states the reason or when and with what frequency they will partake of the Lord's Supper. And friends, when we read the Holy Scriptures and when we seek to exegete the Scriptures, there is every reason to believe, because every time when we read of the disciples and the followers of Christ getting together on the first day of the week, there was always the breaking of the bread representing his body, and also the cup representing the blood that he shed for you and me. And when Paul wrote about that, he added, "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so when you and I partake, we're proclaiming, I believe that Jesus lived. I believe that Jesus died. I believe that he arose and that he is at the right hand of the Father. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:15 and 16, because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. We all have traveled the same dusty road. We've sinned. We're not worthy. But we do not partake because we're worthy, and that's important. We partake because God is holy, and he invites us to come into his presence and be a part of his memorial as we share it with each other. The thought is partaking of it in an unworthy manner. It's not talking about whether a person is worthy, because, so to speak, none of us are worthy. But because God is holy, he invites us to come into his presence and to partake. We have much to remember. Whatever you do, don't forget how we got here. Don't forget the price that has been paid and is being paid, so that we can live in freedom and enjoy the blessings that God has given us. Please don't ever forget. The story is told that a young and successful executive named Josh was driving in a Chicago neighborhood. He was going a bit fast in his sleek black 12-cylinder Jaguar XKE, which was only 2 months old. And he was watching carefully for kids darting out from between parked cars and slowed down when he thought he saw something. As his car passed that spot, no child darted out, but a brick was thrown out and hit his nice Jaguar. It hit the Jaguar's shiny passenger side door. He slammed on his brakes and his gears ground into reverse, and taking the Jaguar back to the spot where the brick had been thrown. And so Josh jumped out of the car, and he grabbed the kid and pushed him up against the parked car, and he shouted, "Who are you? And what in the heck are you doing?" Building up a head of steam, he went on. He said, "That's my new Jag. The brick you threw is going to cost you a lot of money. Why did you throw it?" "Please, mister, please, I'm sorry. I don't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do. I threw the brick because no one would stop." Tears were dripping down the boy's chin as he pointed around the parked car. "It's my brother, mister," he said. "He rolled off of the curb and fell out of his wheelchair, and I can't lift him up." Sobbing, the boy pleaded, "Will you please help me get him back into his wheelchair? He's hurt, and he's too heavy for me." Moved beyond words, the young executive tried desperately to swallow the rapidly swelling lump in his throat. Straining, he lifted the young man back into the wheelchair and took out his handkerchief and wiped the scrapes and cuts, checking to see that everything else was okay with the fellow. He then walked with them to make sure that the younger brother was able to get them back home all right. And then it was a long walk back to his sleek, black, shining 12-cylinder Jaguar XKE, a long and slow walk. Josh never did fix that door. He kept the dent to remind himself not to go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at him to get his attention again. Friends, as we share in this Memorial Day weekend, if you're in this world and you are without Christ, oh, how I beg you to give your heart and life to him. Our world is adrift. There is so much that I know that has to hurt the heart of our Lord. And I want to encourage all of us to seek to remember. Don't wait for someone to throw a brick to get your attention. We invite you, and if I can help you in any way concerning becoming a Christian or living the Christian life, I would be more than happy to do it. Father, we thank you for the teachings of God's Word. And there is no question that as we read the scriptures that our Heavenly Father and sharing His Word through respective writers certainly wanted us to understand there are things that we need to remember in order that we might live as we ought to live and hopefully live in such a way that we can share in the joys of heaven. Bless all who have listened to this podcast, and we pray for the Lord Jesus Christ, to be with each one now and forever. In His name we pray. Amen.